Heavenly Father, we thank you for the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you, the Lamb of God, has taken away the sins of the world, and that to all who receive you, you have given the power to become children of God. We thank you that as we meet today, any one of us who believes in you has passed from death to life. And we thank you for the enormous relief that is to us. There is no condemnation. There is no guilt. There is no hassle to us. We have a Father who loves us and who is with us by his Spirit. So we pray that as we meet today and talk about reading one-to-one with our friends, you would come by your Spirit and teach us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. On your sheets on the table, you have two passages of scripture. Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17 says, "Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" You will not need me to remind you that on that terrible day of wrath, the Lamb who went to such extraordinary lengths to save the world, whom he loves so much, even to the point of dying on the cross, this Lamb will draw a sudden end to this world, and he will judge it. And at that point, it will be too late for those who have rejected him to turn back to him. On that terrible day, there will be kings and prime ministers and head teachers and law lords and heads of corporations and people from our streets. And they will say to us, "What can we do to be saved?" And on that day, it will be too late. Romans 10, verse 14 says, "But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?" And speaking personally, these verses have been a great kick up the backside to me about my responsibility this year, 2013, and maybe the church too, about my responsibility to tell my friends and everybody I possibly can about how they can be saved from the wrath of the Lamb. So today's WOW group, WOW meeting centrally, and indeed the aim of the whole of St. Helens this year, is that we are hoping that everyone in the congregation, every single congregation, will have a go at reading the Bible one-to-one or one-to-two or three with someone that is not yet a Christian. Now, we know that that's not going to happen, but we're going to have a jolly good go at encouraging and really aiming that even in WOW, that many, many of us, even for the first time, are going to take the plunge and invite somebody to read the Bible with us and hear how they can be saved from the wrath of the Lamb. And the aim of today is just to equip us and to talk about resources, ways of inviting people, what we could do, what we can't do, various tips and helps. I'm going to speak, I'm going to get a few testimonies from women who have been doing this, and then Elspeth Pitt is going to speak for a slightly longer time and give us some advice and tips from her own experience. In the city congregation, oh dear, how do I do this? There we go. In the city, there are at present about 30 men and women who have taken the plunge and have invited their colleagues to read the Bible with them. Some of them are having a very difficult time, and some of them are reading with 20 people. There are probably about 100 people in the city who meet at lunchtime or before work or after work and are reading through John's Gospel. And I want to tell you that on the bottom of this sheet, there is a four-click wonder way of getting some absolutely easy-peasy resources. I've just clicked on the first of the clicks. That was sthelens.org. UK, and I'm now going to click on to resources. That's my click. And now I'm going to click on Truth at Work. That's my third click. I'm going to click, yes, there we go. And now I'm going to scroll down, and can you'll see, oops, see, even I can do that. Do you see there are 38 studies from John's Gospel? And at random, I will choose notes, okay? And I'm going to click on that one. Oh, sorry, it's four clicks, five clicks. What we have here is some really easy resources. What we have, what these men have discovered in the city is that the people they're reading the Bible with are pretty bad at asking questions, and they're even worse at answering their own questions. And that lots of these very talented city men find it really frightening sitting down with somebody and being asked to explain what the passage means. So what Richard Borgonnon has done is he has written some notes, which I'm going to show you now. And they are literally, the passage is written out, the questions are written out, and the answers are written out. So what you do is you download this, you make one copy for yourself, and you make one copy for your friend, and you sit down at a table, you both have it, and you take it in turns to read it. And you read it, and there's the question, and there's the answer. And at the end of the page, you say, what did you think of that? And, you know, that is really not difficult. Now, I hate doing that because I like to chat. It's not my kind of scene at all. But there is nobody in the city who is unable to do that. And much to my amazement, loads of people are doing it. So let me show you the kind of stuff. So you get the passage written out, bit of context. Do you see you've got all of the answers? Here we go, bit of comment. The passage written out. That's the end of it. Here we go. Oh, that'll do for now. I'm going out. So I just want to recommend that to you. You've got four clicks there. That'll tell you how to get onto it. And that is one resource that has been very well used at St. Helens. And it's being modified all the time so that it has... I'm going to just rewrite it so that we have the questions written out without the answers. So you may prefer to have it in the format where everything, all the background, all the passage is written out, and then you have the question, and then actually you don't have the answer written out. So that's what I'm going to do over the next few weeks. So that is one way of reading the Bible. And I'd like to invite Eleanor Hoare, please, to come up. Because Eleanor has been trying something different. Eleanor, that's not how you read the Bible with your friends, is it? Could you just tell us what you have done and how you got started and what you do in your sessions?
It was actually at a Christmas is Coming event about a year ago when Janet suggested, why not, when you next meet up for coffee with your friends, perhaps just read the Bible together. And so two of my friends who came to that, they both thought it would be really good to do that. And so we did, and we started reading Luke. We only read about once every 2 weeks. Sometimes it gets cancelled because of children being ill. But it's very informal. And I usually read the passage before we meet. So I read, we do about a couple of chapters, and I might read a commentary as well. But when we actually are reading together, we just take it in turns to read. I'm not leading as such. We're very much all equals. And everybody chips in. And if we sort of go off piste, I try to bring the conversation back and try to make sure that the main point of the passage has come out.
And so literally, you sit with a cup of coffee, you open the Bible and say, right, we're going to read chapter 2 today, and you read it, and then do you not ask any questions at all?
Well, I might say, what do you think? What do you think the main point of this passage is? How can we apply it to our lives? What do we learn about Jesus? What do we learn about God? How can this help us?
And
they're enthusiastic. I mean, one of them sometimes has a commentary there, and she's flicking through, and then she says, oh, let's see what Matthew says about this passage. Let's compare Mark. And I'm just like, well, hang on, should we just stick with Luke?
Yeah. And do you pray at all during the session?
So I'll pray before we begin, yes.
Brilliant. I've done something. Thank you, Eleanor. Is that
not
anything
all.
Else you want to say?
No. I would just really recommend it. They really enjoy it, and you develop really close friendships, and it can be really helpful, particularly if you're really struggling with something. So one of my friends, her son was suddenly diagnosed with autism, and she's really struggled with that, and she said that reading Luke has really helped her with that.
Brilliant, thank you. I do the same with some girlfriends. That my friends don't want to do a course at all. They hate the idea of doing a book or anything like that. So we literally, I say, I think we're going to read Mark chapter 2 today. I think the main point is we're going to see Jesus has authority. Let's just read it. And we read a paragraph and I say, what do you think? And they, vroom, tell me exactly what they think. And it is not difficult. It is really not difficult. That's a different style. Joe Ross.
Hello. Janet asked me to briefly suggest some evangelistic resources we could use with our friends. So rather than using my rather limited experience, I turned to my lovely mother-in-law, Daphne Ross. Some of you will remember her from a Central Wow last year. She helped us then to see how to open up conversations with our friends and get to Jesus, basically, in our conversations. She's brilliant at every aspect of evangelism, so I quickly turned to her. And she wonderfully produced this handout that you'll see should be on your tables. And I hope you'll find this useful. She has kindly listed all the resources she knows of, with the exception of one by Tim Keller, which is based on his book Reason for God, which he hasn't used, so couldn't comment on. Daphne helpfully tells us of the lessons she has learned, such as no course is perfect, although some are much better than others, and that people often need more than one course before they commit themselves, unless they're very churched already. And she encourages us to think about having a series of courses that build on each other. And so with that in mind, she has listed all the different courses, and she split them into first and second courses. So the first courses are those that presume no knowledge whatsoever. So they're for friends who haven't had any church background, probably may not have even heard of Jesus, that kind of thing. And then over the page are the second courses, and they help with those who have got a bit more Bible knowledge. So they may be one to use after the first courses. At Farnham Baptist, where my lovely in-laws are, they run regular Glad You Asked courses, which is the first one listed. They particularly like this course because it poses questions to the group. I ordered a copy, but it hasn't got here in time, so I can't show you, I'm afraid. But I think the gist of it is it kind of gives you some information about a particular topic like suffering or something like that. And then it leaves a question. And so then you stop the DVD, you discuss the question, and then you move on. And they think this is a very helpful postmodern interactive style. And it gets people thinking and questioning their own beliefs as well as what they think of the Bible and Jesus. I've lost where I am. Daphne also gives us, right at the end, some evangelism training courses to consider, as she believes that being trained in apologetics, so answering tricky questions like, why does God allow suffering, is essential. I was thinking it may be worth looking at one of these together in your WOW groups, if it's something that you're not very confident in yourselves. It is wonderful that there are so many different courses available. I hadn't heard of some of these, and so it's a real encouragement to have a look and see some different options. And it just means that we can choose the one that suits, that best suits our friend or friends. And I hope you'll really enjoy doing just that.
Just can I ask, hands up, what kind of material have people here used over the past decades? I know some of you have read the Bible with your friends. What kind of stuff? Emily, tell us. Just for starters. It's dead easy. Okay, just for starters costs £1 there. Emily uses it. Emily, would you please answer questions when people come up to you at the end? And talk to Emily about just for starters. It's very good. What else? Other things? Claire? Claire has done Christianity Explored with DVDs. I always find it a bit complicated to when you use the book and when you use the DVD. Claire will tell you about how to do that and how to make the most of it. How many weeks do you do it in, Claire?
We did seven
weeks. Yeah. So please talk to Claire. There are many, many different ways of doing it. Do you know, with women with children, I find it much easier not to say... my personal opinion is that you say, well, we're going to meet on Thursdays at 11 o'clock, and every week, that's the time we're going to meet, but not everybody will be able to make everyone. So let's just see how it goes, and at the end of every Thursday at 11 o'clock, we then book the next, can everybody make next week at Thursday at 11 o'clock? And it's much more informal, and it's less rigid, and my friends much prefer that. Yours might prefer an absolute timesheet for it. See how it goes. Okay, any other ideas? Jenny?
Just reading through Mark's Gospel and loosely based from the RML notes, particularly if you're doing Mark RML or if you've done it. That's quite helpful and you can use the prep book as a bit of a guide.
Brilliant. Jenny has just read through Mark's Gospel using her RML notes and a few questions. Very loose, very easy thing to do. Yes. Many people will have done that. That's a really great idea. I've used something called Simply Christianity, and I love that. It's based on Luke's gospel, so it's not at all frightening. It's very girlsy and, you know, Jesus loves everybody. And it's really a very nice course. And it's written, you can literally read it out. And it comes with a Bible study with questions with the answers if you want them. And then on every week, there are only 5 weeks, there's an added sheet which has the apologetics with it. So there's a sheet, 1 week you do, is the Bible trustworthy? Another week you do something on suffering. Another week you do something on miracles. So it's a marvellous course because it's all literally written out. You can read it with your friend or not, as you like to do. Any other ideas? Rachel.
Another one lately, I use teaching Acts and going through Acts. This is after I've done Gospel, and they said, well, what happened next? So we read Acts, and the book teaching Acts,
Rachel's talking about teaching Acts, which is by David Cook.
It's more work, because obviously it's written for preachers, and obviously you're not preaching, but it's good, because it's good because you want to, as it were, get a bit more of a theology, because it's there, we know.
Brilliant. Thank you. Okay, I'm now going to pass over to Elspeth. Thank you, girls, very much. Many of us have done lots of things, and I'd like us just to share our information and share our good ideas, things that have not worked well. If you've tried a course and, frankly, it was a disaster, please tell us, because we don't want to embark on something that was a horrible, nasty experience. Elspeth.
Thanks very much. I'm going to use a lectern mic. I'll try and speak up. If you can't hear, please wave and we'll switch to another microphone. Just to say, I'm not an expert, so all I'm sharing with you is my own experience, really, of reading the Bible with people who are not believers in Jesus. There's a handout which says reading the Bible one-to-one, some tips, and that's what we're working through. Just a word briefly on why. Janet really gave us that at the beginning. But I think fairly regularly about what Jesus says about the word. And in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, you'll know it. There's no need to turn it up. But you remember that in the context of opposition and seeming failure, Jesus explains to his disciples why he is a preacher, why he teaches the word of God. And the answer is it's because the word of God brings fruit. There's lots of rejection. There are lots of responses that seem encouraging at the beginning and then fade away. But there is also abundant fruit, and it is only the word that produces that effect that brings light and life and joy and a knowledge of Jesus and forgiveness of sins. And I'm sure every one of us here has had the experience of the word producing fruit in our own lives. And we want that for our friends too, don't we? We want them to encounter Jesus as we have. And that's really my assumption. It's a fairly obvious one, but I think it's an important one nonetheless. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are some things I'm very enthusiastic about that I tend to tell everyone about at the moment is my football team, Swansea City, who are doing quite well in the Premier League. And I'm quite good at sharing that kind of good news, but sometimes I'm not so good at sharing something that's much better good news, which is the good news of Jesus. And we've talked a bit about different kinds of resources that you can use. Bible study material with pre-printed questions. I am actually quite a fan of that, so do have a look at some of these. I've got a couple of others with me, which I found this one this morning. It's called, it's in a one-to-one series. It's called Just Looking. And this one is exploring the life and message of Jesus, 24 sessions in the Gospel of Luke. And for each session, there are questions to answer, and you go away, read the passage. Each one of you has one of these booklets and a gospel, goes away, reads it, fills in the answers, and comes back and talks about it. Very, very easy to use, very non-intimidating, because you're both going away, reading and comparing notes on what you've read, really. So I'll leave this lying around. Please, I'd be grateful if you didn't take it away because I think it's my only copy. Another one that I've used in the past, same kind of idea, actually written really for youth. Also, this both by the Good Book Company. This one's called Start. Again, it's looking, looking at different parts of the Bible. Starts off in Romans, goes into Colossians. But again, a little bit to read, a few questions to answer. You write down the answers, come in advance, come back and compare notes. Those can be really helpful, particularly if you're feeling nervous or if other people, or if you're meeting with someone who might feel nervous about the idea of doing Bible study. So worth having a think about those. They can work really well, I think. So I think those kind of booklets can be really helpful, but I'm actually going to focus a bit more on reading a gospel together. I think that's often what we feel scared by, and actually I think it's a brilliant thing to do and not scary at all. Because all we're doing with our friends is giving them a guided tour, really, of stuff that we've read. So we're going to talk about questions and answers and do that. So who is it for? Actually, anyone. I reckon we can do this with absolutely anyone. We can do it with friends we know really well. We can do it even with people we don't know very well. So how do we get started? Well, I meant to say, by the way, please do feel, if you've got questions or comments you want to make, please do shout out. I really don't mind. We'll try and leave time for questions at the end. But if you've got questions or comments as you go along, just wave or shout, okay? Okay, getting started. Everyone's all right so far. And dealing with fears. I think we often focus on our own fears. Someone told me in the car last night on the way home from Central Focus about Rico Tice and talking about the first time that he met with someone who wasn't a believer to do a one-to-one Bible study. And he was so nervous, he was absolutely dripping with sweat. And apparently he got through his questions and said at the end, would you like to do this again? And the person said, yes, but will you be sweating as much the next time? So I'm sure that's not a problem for anyone here. I think it is something that we can feel a bit nervous about, isn't it? The idea of actually speaking to a friend and saying, how about reading the Bible together? How about looking at what the Bible says? But actually, it seems to me, if you can do a quiet time, if you can read the Bible on your own, you can read the Bible with a friend. I don't think you need any more skills or ability than that. If you have met Jesus in the Bible, you can share him with other people. I don't think it's any more complicated than that. And actually, our friends may well be far less antagonistic than we think they will be. Sometimes our fears are just in our heads, aren't they? So we actually need to think about how things will be for the person that we're wanting to read the Bible with. It seems to me the advantage of reading a gospel together is that we have that we're actually helping the people, our friends, with their fears. It takes away, I think, a lot of fears about indoctrination. It takes away any fears that this is just my opinion or someone else's opinion or a view of a church or that kind of thing. We can say things like, we're looking at the source documents together. We're looking at the primary sources of the Christian faith. Let's do that together. Let's see what we think about it. We avoid giving the impression that we're teaching our own ideas or only giving part of the picture. So how do we ask people? I mean, the short answer is I think we just do it, don't we? I think if we've been talking about Jesus with our friends, it's not such a big leap to say, how about actually having a look at some of the things that Jesus actually says? Or sometimes I say things like, you know, it's surprising lots of people, even if they come from a church background, have never actually read right through a gospel. You know, how about doing that? It's trying to kind of find ways of asking that doesn't sound too scary. This is a book they've been plugging a lot in the city called Living Proof. This is my own copy, and I think it's really helpful because it's written by a guy who just loves opening the Bible with people who are not believers. There's one copy on the table there, and it's £10, and that is the last one in the city team's resources, and they said we could have it. So first come, first served, really. But one of the things, lots and lots of practical tips about how to read the Bible with people. But one of the things that he says is that we float the idea with our friends before we ask them outright. And I thought that was quite helpful. So he says something like, well, he says that people tend to reject new ideas the first time they hear them. Generally, that's what we do. So, and if I ask someone directly, would you like to read the Bible with me? Their instinctive reaction is going to be no. So he says, introduce the idea without asking for a response. So, for example, sometime I'd love to have a look at the Bible with you. No date, no response required, but you're putting the idea in their heads as something that might be a possibility at some undetermined time in the future. I don't think that's dishonest. I think that's just giving people a chance to think about it, absorb it, maybe come to the conclusion that it wouldn't be too scary, and maybe you do that a couple of times before you eventually say, remember we mentioned that? How about doing that? Getting started, dealing with fears. probably don't sort of say, come and meet with me for 10 weeks. Maybe say, how about meeting once and having a look at it? Christians believe this is the sort of primary source for Christian belief. So it's a good place to just have a look, see what we make of Jesus. No particular expectations. Okay, what to do? Meeting, I guess this is easy for most people here. I think somewhere which is familiar, neutral and private. Good place to go. Ideally not a coffee shop. Probably ideally not a church. So a home is a brilliant place. Either your home or your friend's home. How long for? It's hard to say. I think it's better to leave people wanting more rather than going on and on and on for ages. So aim for shorter rather than longer. Hour, maybe hour and a half. But some of that will be chat, I think. Okay. Do something you know well. Personally, other people have said this, I go for Mark's Gospel because I know it, and I think it's quite straightforward. Practically, it's helpful if you get two copies, same translation, same page numbers, all that kind of thing. So you don't have all that embarrassing hunting around and you having to find things for your friend, that kind of thing. It'd be really embarrassing. So I think it's helpful to say, let's just meet up, let's give this a go. Perhaps we can both read a couple of chapters and come back and compare notes. Not everyone does it like that. That's the way I tend to. I guess you work out what works for you. I find that fairly non-scary and non-intimidating, and it avoids someone coming with the expectation that I'm going to give them all my thoughts and give them a kind of lecture. So, and then at the end of that first session, just say, would you like to do that again maybe sometime? Set another date then. Our aim, it seems to me, is not to teach every last sentence exhaustively. So it's not like perhaps what a regular St. Helens Bible study would be like. But I think our aim is to help our friends to encounter Jesus. That's really what we want, and that's what we're pushing for. So some ideas of questions that I want to ask. This, I'm sure a lot of this is really familiar, but I think I've just written some down just to, for those, which you can take or leave, really. Three big ideas I want to cover each time. I think it's probably true whatever gospel you read with a friend. What does this passage teach about who Jesus is? What does this passage teach about why he came? And something about response. What responses do we see to Jesus? What response do you think he's looking for? Personally, at the beginning, I don't want to be too direct or too scary. And I think I'm aiming to ask open questions rather than closed questions, and particularly avoiding questions that really put people on the spot in a way that might make them feel really uncomfortable. So, and I've written a whole list of questions there. What did you make of what you read? So fairly general, it's lots of opportunity to say whatever they want to. Was there anything that struck you in particular? Was the description of Jesus what you expected? What do you think Mark was trying to show about Jesus? Or are the questions, why do you think he said that? What do you think he was getting at? Or very good question always, someone says something, why did you say that? Why do you say that? What impression are you left with? They're all questions that hopefully allow lots of opportunity for our friend to kind of engage with the text, be looking at the text and thinking about it, trying to put themselves in the position of the people who are in the story. That's not really dodgy. I think that's quite a helpful thing to do. And then in terms of kind of application, I think, again, at the beginning particularly, I want to avoid being too pushy too soon. So I would ask questions like, how do you think this compares with what people today often think about Jesus? Or it might be, well, I put another couple down. Oh yeah, what response do we see? What is Jesus looking for? Those kind of things. So it allows people to think about what Jesus is asking, what response Jesus looks for, without putting them on the spot, particularly at the beginning. And I think if you go through a gospel, it's possible for people to draw their own conclusions more personally. So that's asking questions. Is everyone okay? Do shout out if you've got things you want to say. I promise not to bite or to be scary in response. Answering questions. Again, I think all this is straightforward. This is just conversation, isn't it? So I think we want to set an atmosphere that suggests all kinds of questions and comments are good. So just personally, I'm always really thrilled if I see that people have read the Bible and are thinking about it. I mean, that's wonderful, isn't it? Even if actually their answer is completely wrong. It doesn't, I mean, it's great that they're reading the Bible and thinking about it, isn't it? And beginning to engage with Jesus and the things that he said and did and the person that he is. So don't be too dogmatic or defensive. I say this with some caution, but I don't think we need to correct every misunderstanding, especially at the beginning. There are some things, obviously, that you can't leave undealt with. But it may be that you leave some things on hold and perhaps say something like, perhaps we'll just keep that question and see, perhaps as we read through, what conclusions we come to about it. Don't be too detailed. It really doesn't matter if they don't see everything they could possibly expect to see in the passage. And even if someone is entirely wrong, try to be gentle in the way that you respond. So a very helpful answer is always, that's really interesting. But it generally is interesting. I mean, it's quite fascinating sometimes to see what's brought people to a particular conclusion. So I think that's truthful. But what makes you say that? And trying to remember people's questions and using them the next time you meet is a really helpful thing, I think. So answering questions. And then answering questions that don't come from the passage. I mean, it's worth thinking through what kind of questions people are asking. Are they honest questions? That is, are they genuinely seeking to find things out, or are they defensive questions? Are they questions that are really designed to put a barrier between themselves and what they're reading or hearing? And that's just a judgment call, isn't it? And that will determine how you seek to answer them or not, it seems to me. So be prepared to delay answering. So in Mark, for example, you could say, actually, that's a really interesting question. Do you know, it's something that's dealt with later on. Why don't we aim to meet up and we'll talk about it the next time? Really good question, really important, really glad you asked that, all that kind of thing. As far as you can, help your friend to discover answers from the Bible rather than telling them. I think that is really, really important. We want them to have confidence not in us, but in God's word and in Jesus. So let the Bible answer as far as you possibly can. Avoid philosophical discussion. Yeah. Noelle's saying that her daughter hates reading the Bible. Yeah, as if she's and she feels that Noelle is preaching to her. And I think as far as possible. Thank you. That's a really helpful question. As far as possible, if you can help people, instead, sometimes it's better not to answer a question directly. It seems to me. I think what you want to do is to help them to see what's actually in the text and react to that themselves. It might be that you don't answer a question and instead you say, you know, why don't we have a look at that bit, or why don't you have a look at that bit? Tell me what you think about that bit instead, something like that. I mean, some people don't want to kind of answer questions. They find it embarrassing, particularly at the start. So, I mean, that's why the material, like the sort of John material on the website, can be really, really helpful. But sometimes if you can ask questions in a way that's fairly broad and helps them to discover rather than you telling them, that can be a good way forward. I mean, if there's real antagonism, maybe you just maybe you drop it for a bit or try and find a different way forward. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay. With questions, I think don't be afraid to write questions down and come back to them, particularly if they don't come from the Bible, or don't come directly from the Bible, so that you can do some research and answer them in some kind of logical order. It seems to me that we're kind of often frightened that I've got to understand a passage perfectly, I've got to understand every philosophical or apologetics type question, and I don't think that I actually need to. If I understand about who Jesus is in a passage, and I understand something about the response that he requires, and what he's saying about himself, that is enough. If I can help my friend understand that, and they ask a question I don't know the answer to, I think I just say, that's a great question, I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that, I'll go away, have a think about it, and come back and we'll talk about it again. I think particularly if they're more philosophical questions and you're not sure whether they're honest questions or defensive questions, it is a useful thing to go away in any case. It may be that there are some big questions that you don't want to deal with in the order that your friend asks them. So if they're not sure about the reliability of the Bible, for example, there might not be a lot of point in doing some other questions that rely on that, for example, or... You know, and it might just give you a bit of time to sort of contemplate. I mean, even with the big philosophical questions, it seems to me if you can answer them from the Bible, it is worth trying to do that, because all the time then you're taking people's confidence away from you, which doesn't matter particularly, and helping people to feel confident actually that the Bible does have answers for them, which they can find out for themselves. They don't need to be an expert. They don't even need to be with an expert to do it. We're wanting to give people a kind of guided tour of the Bible, really, or a guided tour of the gospel, but without ourselves being the kind of guru figure, because we don't want to draw people to ourselves. We want to point people to Jesus, don't we? And that's all we're doing, really, in reading the Bible, doing the same kind of stuff as we do in our quiet times, helping people to see the Lord Jesus as we've come to know him, and pointing to him. So because we're wanting people to encounter Jesus primarily, not ourselves, we want to be honest. We want to talk, I think, about where the Bible challenges us or the passage challenges us. And we might want to say something about how a passage has struck or challenged us. But we do want to keep pointing away from ourselves. I don't think we need to be enormously personal. Sometimes that's attractive and we can feel that we ought to. And I think we do need to be honest, but I think it can often be self-defeating to be too honest, because, again, the attention is coming to us instead of going to the Lord Jesus, which is what we want. And I think it's really easy in one-to-one to develop a relationship which is more focused on me. Yeah, Thea. Pros and cons of doing something like Christianity Explored, where you're not the one saying the difficult things. And I think there are real advantages in doing something like Christianity Explored with a DVD, where you look at it and then you're sort of saying, what did you think about what that guy said there? Let's check it up in the Bible. I think it can be really helpful. Same with all the kind of pre-printed material, can be really, really helpful because you engage in a slightly different way. And I think the disadvantage of it is it is obviously less geared to your friend. And you have to go at the pace that the booklet or Christianity Explored, which I think is brilliant, sets. So I guess it's knowing how your friend feels about how much they're willing to talk personally. I think Christianity Explored requires people to talk quite personally about how they feel quite early on, which works really well for some people, and some people find it really difficult for that reason. And I think you need to kind of work out what expectations your friend has. Also with Christianity Explored, I guess you're more or less committed to a 7-week course. I think if you just say, let's read the Bible together, you can just say, let's give it a go as a one-off and see how it goes. My time's gone, hasn't it? Keeping it going, I don't think I want to say anything else about that, really. Just take 1 week at a time. You don't need to set particular expectations or standards for yourself or for your friend, which you might not meet. If you're meeting with you may want to meet weekly, you may want to meet less often. I think this is a wisdom issue. Don't only talk about when you meet with them and chat with them at other times, try and talk about normal stuff as well. Otherwise, it will end up slightly an odd relationship, it seems to me. I think that's probably about as much as I want to say. Really happy to kind of, if people have got questions or comments. Yes, Sarah.
The friend I have in mind is an assiduous character, and I think would be affronted proposal, and I was thinking that I would probably have to prepare the ground by lending her a book that I've already read. Do you have any comment on that sort of case?
Someone who, sorry for repeating it, someone who's a keen churchgoer but might be affronted at looking at the Bible together, and Sarah's wondering whether it might be better to give her a book
to start with.
Might be. I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it? I don't know the individual. Personally, I think people are often, reading the Bible is often more neutral and open to all kinds of people than we fear that it is. It seems to me that I very often use the line in doing Christianity Explored groups with people, it's really surprising, even if people have gone to church all their lives, they've never actually read through a gospel together, particularly as an adult, something that's, you know, probably we feel only is Sunday school stories, and it's often not what we expect. Why not give it a go? I mean, it might be worth giving them a book to read, but I think I would give it a go with them and say, how would you feel about it? How would you feel about actually looking at a bit of the Bible together? And we'll just read it, we'll both read it, and we'll both compare notes, so that you're not saying, I am telling you what you must think, but we're actually just saying, let's look at actually what Jesus says. I mean, I don't know your friend, I might be wrong on that, but I think it's worth being brave and asking at any rate, and if they say no, then, yeah, of course, give them a book or invite them to something else.
I've ended up reading in the King James Version with somebody because that's the only version they wanted to read. Am I on, Snick? I'm not. Woo, thank you. Really helpful, Elspeth. Now, can we just have some initial reactions, some comments, some fears, but what about this from the floor?
Sort of further question, really, in terms of keeping it going. I know you said you didn't want to speak about that too much, but what about if you're either reading with someone who's clearly, after week two, say, has got a hard heart, or on the contrary, someone you've already read Mark with, for example, and there's not been a reaction, or someone who is almost messing you around? Can you say, I mean, I think there is some sort of wisdom there, knowing that actually it becomes a point of being dangerous.
How long do you keep going when there's not really very much interest at all?
I'm sure other people have got wise things to say on this. It seems to me that if someone isn't interested, they will usually find excuses for stopping meeting up and reading the Bible. If they're meeting up just because they're lonely and value the friendship or something like that, sorry, that's slightly brutal, then it's worth kind of acknowledging that. I think very often you can see that, that bit in Mark 4, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and that kind of idea that as you seek to listen, that you gain enlightenment, that you hear, and as you turn away, you kind of gain less and less. And I think you can often see people going on one of those two trajectories. And it may be that you just say, I have a frank conversation with your friend at some point if they don't seem to be interested, and say, why are we doing this? What are you hoping to get out of it? And you may well get to a point, I think, where you think this is really casting pearls before swine. And you think, are there other of my friends in whom the Lord seems to be at work doing something, with whom I might be sharing the word more usefully? With that, I'm sorry if that sounds brutal.
That's very helpful. Any other comments? Lucy?
So sorry, it's an obvious thing to say, but I'm doing CE with a lovely friend who loves the structure, loves the DVDs. We're doing it at home together. And I'm not going to suggest this course to another friend who's actually been coming to church. She would balk at the idea of doing that kind of thing. So, I mean, I know it's an obvious thing to say, but it depends on the relationship, on the friend, on their background. So it's just praying it through, really, and working out what's best.
There's so much that could be said at this point. I want to just stop the from the front part of the meeting. I think we need to remind ourselves that this is the Lord's work. It is not our work. However brilliant you are at these things, it can't make someone a Christian. And however pathetic you are at these things, you never know. You might be the person that the Lord brings to bring someone to unbelievable eternal life. But unless we try, we won't know. And our aim is for everybody here just to have a go, to dare to pray that the Lord would give them somebody somewhere in 2013 that they can read the Bible with. It's not your responsibility what happens. It's not your responsibility whether they are given eternal life. But you can at least pray that God would give you the opportunity. And if you don't pray that, of course, you won't get the opportunity. So I would like to challenge us. That's what we do. And I'm going to suggest now that I finish in prayer. In fact, Elspeth might pray for us now. And then the formal part of the meeting is going to finish early. And I suggest that you just talk around your table about people that you are thinking of, people you would love to get into, people who you have been rejected by, people you think you've got an open door with. And perhaps just to pray around the table and ask the Lord to open the door for the message of eternal life. So thank you very much, Elspeth and Eleanor and Joe. And if you just finish now, then the meeting will be officially finished. And then talk around your tables, pray, collect your children, have some more coffee.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Thank you that that it brings life and light and forgiveness. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you might help us to be confident that that your word works, and we pray for each one of us that as we learn to love the Lord Jesus and his word more and more, that you might give us all opportunities to seek to share it with our friends. We're aware of our own sin, our failure, our fears. Please help us to be bold, not because of our confidence in our own abilities, but because of our confidence in Jesus. And please grant us opportunities to speak of Jesus formally and informally with all kinds of people, and to share his words. For your glory, we pray. Amen.